We are looking at what true religion is. Last week we looked generally at what a true life with Jesus looks like. We saw that we cannot have a hypocritical, false religion. It is not worth doing. It's not worth pretending. It's not worth coming. I do have to admit being a little bit worried that some of you would have heard part of the message and then said, Pastor John doesn't want us to come to church. Instead of saying, Pastor John's heart is that God is met here in this building on Sunday morning, and that's why we're here. This morning, though, we are going to be looking at walking with God. And really, if we were to title it, the message would be titled, Be Someone Who Walks with God. It's a nice, easy, simple verse and a simple statement, sorry. Be someone who walks with God. Now, for those of you who have grown up in Christian homes, yes, we will get to some of the things you're thinking of. But I don't want us to be viewing this phrase with baggage. Instead, I want us to see this phrase in action. There are some individuals in the Old Testament who exemplify different things. We often know their names. You know, you've heard of Adam and Eve, right? You've heard of them. You've heard of Abraham. You've heard of, and maybe know the stories of David. Most children only know the one story about David. You know, he did a lot more than kill one giant? Yeah, he did a lot. Hey, one of my favorite characters. We might come back to him later. You know some things about them, but often the really great ones in the Old Testament have a phrase attached to their name, something that describes their life. We don't have time to go through and look at all of them. There's a lot. But there are some that stand out. And the one we're going to go to first is found in Genesis chapter 5. So you can turn there with me. Genesis chapter 5, and we're going to find a man and a description of him that is extremely challenging. There's only a handful of verses about this individual in the Bible, and yet the title that's given to him, the description of his life, is so powerful, it's something that we need to imitate. And this is where we get our title from. Genesis chapter 5, starting in verse 20. Well, we'll start in verse 20 so we can run up. This is in the middle of the genealogies, so there's a few names in here. We'll read a few verses here. Genesis chapter 5 and verse 20. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. That's a pretty normal genealogical entry. For those who are in Sunday school, that's how most of them go. Verse 21, and Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. The phrase that describes Enoch's life is that Enoch walked with God. Enoch walked with God. I don't know if you noticed, but he walked with God all the days of his life, and he walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years, and the total comes to 365, is that right? Yeah, 365. That number sounds familiar. Oh, that's almost like one year for every day of a year. Methuselah walked with God for his life, for his whole life. He walked with God. And this is the description of his life. You can describe someone's life or their character in many different ways. So-and-so was a very good businessman. So-and-so was average at everything. So-and-so was the shortest person who ever accomplished, we can add those titles or descriptors to people's lives. But here, what describes Enoch is that he walked with God. He walked with God. Enoch is very special. Now, in case you ever look this up, you know, later tonight, you want to follow up on Enoch's life, there's actually two Enochs in the Bible. This Enoch is the seventh from Adam, and we'll see that in Jude when we get there, that he is described as the seventh from Adam, and that describes also who he is or his placement in the lineup. So he's not the same as the other Enoch. This Enoch, he lived for a long time, 365 years, but I read verse 20 for a very specific reason. Enoch lived a long time, but from our perspective, 365 years, that's a long time, but it was very short compared to his father, who lived, what was it again? I've lost it. 800 years after he begat Enoch. So 962 years. 962. That's a lot more than Enoch. And Enoch's son is Methuselah. We mentioned that in verse 22, Methuselah. And everybody knows Methuselah, the oldest man on record. He lived the longest of all of them. 969 years. So Enoch looked like he was going to have a lifespan similar to his father or his son. And yet he has a lifespan that's a third of that. We also notice that Enoch is not listed with the "and then he died" statement. It's not in there. Instead, in verse 24, it says, "He walked with God and was not, for God took him." We'll come back to that in just a moment. But this does not say Enoch died. This is one of the few exceptions to the rule that it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. This is one of the very few exceptions. But here we have Enoch, and it's repeated over and over again that he walked with God in verse 22. And in verse 24, he walked with God. It is obviously not something that just happened once. Instead, it seems to be for the majority of his life, it was characterized by a walk with God. What does it mean to walk with someone? We'll look at the difference later between walking and running, and so don't get yourself distracted on that. But what does it mean to walk with someone? It means to proceed. You're not standing still. You're moving. You're in motion, but you're accompanied by. You're walking coordinatedly. My wife won't mind this illustration. When we were dating, she was going out for jogs, and I a couple of times went with her. It is not something we do very often. You know why? Because it's impossible. It's impossible because we run at very different paces. And so if I'm trying to keep up with her, I'm wearing myself out. And if she's trying to keep up with me, she's wearing herself out because we're not matched in our gait, our steps. So running together is not a good idea. Even walking together is a little bit difficult because I walk a little bit faster, a little bit longer stride than she does. And so even walking together, it's purposeful. And so that's really the first thing that we have to note. It's an accompaniment type of transportation. It is, you're in the same car together and you're putting forth the same effort. When you're walking with someone, you can talk. One of the only good things that happened during COVID was everything was locked down and we were only allowed to go out for walks in New South Wales. And so that became the thing everyone did. I think it was probably, anyways, it defeated the purpose of being separated out all through the day because there were hundreds of people going on the same 5-kilometer walk around the lake every day. So there was lots of people. But as you were going, you could carry on a conversation. It was a time of great fellowship. It was accompanying one another. It wasn't about getting to the goal. If you wanted to get to the goal, you do what? You race. You run. Maybe if you're a little girl or a little boy, you hop, skip, jump, crab walk. But you move as fast as you can. If it's about getting to a particular goal. But if you are trying to accompany someone, if you are trying to stand next to someone and support them with your presence as you go, you have to walk. Here we have the fellowship of Enoch and God being described. Now at this moment, I want to pause and just say, the names in the Bible are interesting, exciting, and often lend a little bit of insight into every passage that you read. Enoch's name means either dedicated or teacher. I prefer the meaning of dedicated. Dedicated, because it fits with walking with God. He was committed. That's another word for dedicated. He was committed, dedicated to God. Enoch, he walked with God. Now, you and I, we might see a short walk of 5 kilometers and think, okay, walking with someone around the lake is one thing. But here we have described for us Enoch walking with God for 300 years after he begat Methuselah. We're not sure how much walking with God he did before the age of 65, but for sure, after that point, he was walking with God. The description of his life, oh, that's Enoch. Not, there's Enoch the carpenter, there's Enoch the guy who did something great or built a big building, or there's Enoch the rich man, or there's Enoch who's going to live really long, but there's Enoch, the man who walked with God, the man who walks with God now. That was the description of him. That was the thing that God and everyone else noticed about him, that he walked with God. He continued at a pace with God such that he could have a conversation with God. I want us to also pause in our look at Enoch and consider what it means to follow. We are called to be disciples of Jesus, that is, followers of him. And that is because Jesus is not standing still. He is not done. He is calling us to go with him. And even as we have been looking in Mark, we found that often on the way to some place or other, he is continually teaching along the road. His disciples walked with him. That's what it means to follow. That's what it means to be a disciple. True religion, a true Christian, is one who learns to walk with God. Again, not to repeat last week's message, but it is not enough to say, I'm out of hell, I'm good. I've got my ticket to heaven, I'm happy. But a Christian is one who is learning to walk with God, whose religion is real, whose following of God is true. Here we have the example of Enoch, showing us, well before Jesus, how to walk with God. Enoch walked. The pace of it. I want us now to consider what it means to walk. You and I all have different lengths of legs, body types, and proclivity for walking. Some of us walk fast, some slow, some have long strides, some have short, some people have, you know, toes that point out. Their walks are different. All of us have different manners of walking, but there are consistencies in it as well. It's all described as that person's walking because there's a consistency in the manner of each foot as it goes down. It's going down a consistent manner at a fairly consistent pace. You're just walking, and you're just walking. You know, if you're going a lot faster, it'd be running. And the manner of it would be different. If you're skipping, it's like, you know, it's not walking. Walking is very consistent. It's regular. It's deliberate. Walking with God is coming to God deliberately over and over and over and over again until we have reached our goal. But the purpose is the journey, not the goal. I know that's a really silly phrase. It's the journey, not the goal. But this is true. For us, walking with God, it's about walking with Him. Yes, the goal, the end result is we will be in heaven with Him, glorified, strengthened, built up. Yes, that's the end result. But all the beauty, the joy of walking with God. For those of you who don't know Jesus Christ, I'm sorry, most of this message is not for you. Except to say, you might have a longing in your heart, or you might say, I am missing something, and what I am describing today is the true Christian life. Watchman Nee would call it the normal Christian life, walking with God. And that might be something which interests you. And if it does, come and see me afterwards. I'd be happy to talk with you more and bring you into fellowship with God so that you can walk with Him. So this message is for us Christians. Walk with God. Walk with God. A steady, consistent, plodding. My mom likes that word. I don't know why. She likes to describe myself and my sister as we plod. We just continue and we don't change our mind and we just keep going and yeah, eventually we get the job done. We're plodders, not plotters. We're not plotting a track. No, we're plodders. We keep going. Here we find Enoch. He walked with God step after step, day after day, year after year, until one day. And we're going to see what that one day looked like now. In verse 24, we read, and he was not. And he was not. It's a bit cryptic. It's a bit of a puzzle. You have to take it and look at it this way and look at it that way. What are they talking about? So-and-so died, so-and-so died, so-and-so died. Enoch, he was not. He was not. What does that mean? It means that Enoch was not on this earth. If we were to paint the picture, Enoch and God, they were walking together in close fellowship, talking as they went, accompanying God and Enoch were walking in company together. And as they are going one day, as Enoch turned 365, one of those days there in that year, God just said, hey, you want to finish this at my place? And instead of Enoch going home to his house and sleeping down, laying down for a sleep that night, he went to God's house and laid down in the presence of God. That is how close their fellowship was. We'll look more at the friendship that this implies as we go. Now we need to turn in our Bibles to Jude chapter 1, because that's the only chapter. Jude chapter 1 and verse 14. Jude and Revelation, it's the second last book, in case you're looking for it. Verse 14. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Enoch is described here as one who prophesied. He prophesied concerning God's coming. He prophesied concerning God's coming. He was looking to God with hope. He was also looking to God as the great judge in verse 15, that God would come and execute judgment upon the ungodly. And we have a little bit of his message written for us here. Enoch walked with God, and his walk with God was not just a fellowship, an accompaniment with God, but it was also one where his heart burned with the same passion as God. You know, it's always been God's intention from the foundation of the world and from the fall of man to redeem them and to come back and to reign in glory. That has been his intention from the very beginning. And so Enoch, only the seventh from Adam, by the way, if you want, look up how many years old Adam was when he died and see if Enoch got to meet Adam. That's a bit of homework for you kids. Try and figure out, was Enoch around at the same time as Adam? If not, how many years are in between? The hint is, it's pretty close. Enoch, he knew Adam. He knew God. And I think this explains to us how Adam knew how to walk with God. We won't look at it this morning, but Adam walked with God in the cool of the evening. Adam knew what it meant to walk with God. And Enoch, only very shortly after, was able to then take that and do it consistently to such a point that he was taken to be with God. But we find that his heart is the same as God's. He is preaching against sin, and he is preaching of the coming of the Lord. God did not set this earth up and then hands off, step back, let it all go. No, God is intending to do something in your life. He wants to walk with you. He's intending to come back, and one day he will. He will come back and he will execute judgment. He will right the wrongs. If you wanted to summarize verse 15, you could put it that way. God has come to right the wrongs. Enoch preached against all that was wrong in his time. He was courageous in speaking for God. I don't think many people wanted to hear it. Remember, this is only a few years before Noah and the great flood, which came to remove people who were doing all kinds of wicked things, where every imagination of their heart was wickedness continually. Enoch is preaching to those people whose hearts are devising wickedness continually. He is preaching to them that they are wicked, they are ungodly, they are committing ungodly deeds, and God is going to judge them. I don't think they would have liked Enoch very much. Walking with God includes a hatred for sin. It includes a hatred for sin. But what does it look like to walk with God? It's personal fellowship with God, learning his likes and dislikes. And now we're going to see another in James chapter 2, if you'll turn with me there. Another individual. James chapter 2 and verse 23. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Again, Abraham, a well-known character. And the phrase that describes his life better than anything else is he was friend to God. If you're walking with God and you're having fellowship with him, you are becoming friend with him. What does it mean to be a friend of someone? This is a good place for you kids. In Proverbs, we're told that if you want to have friends, you've got to show yourself friendly. Okay? Learn that one. It's a good one. Learn to make friends. But what do good friends do? Well, they learn to like the same things. They learn to enjoy what each other like to do. The music that your friend likes to listen to is likely to become more of a favorite of yours. If you have a friend who enjoys a particular sport, you might join with them in doing that sport and it will become a favorite of yours. Your friend and you might have things in common, but as you are friends for any length of time, your interests either converge or you stop being friends. In other words, friendship is an opportunity for drawing closer to someone in your affections, that is, the things that you like and desire, to be the same as the things they like and desire. I had a friend when I was growing up. He and I would do all kinds of things, everything from bike riding, shooting. We would watch beavers building their dams in America. We did everything together that we could. Okay, we knew what each other liked, and in some ways, I rubbed off on him, and in some ways, he rubbed off on me. And things like I like Sprite. It's a silly thing to like. Why do I like Sprite? Because he loved it, and so he had it all the time, and I would drink a can of Sprite with him, and so I came to enjoy it myself. And for the longest time, I would claim that was my favorite soft drink to drink. Why? Because it was my friend's absolute favorite, and because I had come to like it more as I had been with him. Our friendship draws us to like the things that our friend likes. And for our attitudes and our life to live with them. Abraham was a friend to God. He loved what God loved. And he wanted to do what God wanted him to do. How do we know that? Again, back to Jude chapter 1, verse 14. No, I've written down the wrong number there. Sorry, we're in James. We're in James. James chapter 4 and verse 4. I jumped us back to Enoch again. James 4, 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be friend of the world is enemy of God. If we jump, that gives us enough. There's more. That whole passage will lead us to understand that the opposite of this verse is true as well. If we are friends to God, we are enemies of the world. And when we're enemies of God, we are friends with the world. Because what the world loves, God hates. The world loves sin. It loves for us to be bound in our own selfishness, to do those things which are wrong, and hates God. If we love God, we will do things that He loves. He loves purity. He loves faith. He loves justice. He loves goodness. Back in James 2 and verse 23, we already read that verse. But if you want to turn back there again, that's fine. We have Abraham is friend of God because he believed God and he had righteousness which was imputed to him by God. This is how he is the friend of God. This implies that Abraham desired righteousness. This implies that Abraham desired righteousness. Do you know nobody likes doing righteousness? That's not something that's naturally in us as human beings. We enjoy many things, but we enjoy them to excess. You know, someone likes food, they often have trouble and they go on towards gluttony. Someone is confident, they often go too far and go on to be proud. Someone is, and you can go down the list, we take all the things that we like and we take them to sin. God loves righteousness, and so Abraham also loved and wanted righteousness. And we find here he had faith in God and he had imputed to him that righteousness. Faith in God makes us a friend with God. Righteousness makes us a friend with God. You want to be friends with someone who is good and helpful. Many times your friend is someone you can depend on. They tell you when you've gone the wrong direction. They also will give you directions the 30th time when you got lost. They will help you out when you have fallen, when your bike is broken. They will carry the load with you. Your friend will not just walk alongside you, but they will help you. They will carry your load. Being friends with God is a great opportunity. We don't have much time, but we'll go on to our third character, which is David. And he is known as the man after God's own heart. We don't have time this morning to turn there, but we find that David had the same heart as God did. He wasn't just close like a friend, but his desires, his intentions, his actions were all connected with God. He was willing to do whatever God wanted. And he wanted those things that God wanted. God wanted to put a city, Jerusalem, with his name on it. And David wanted that. God wanted to build a sanctuary, a temple in Israel. David, he wanted to do that. His heart was the same as God's in his desires. And when David sinned, what is it that we note? As soon as it was pointed out to him, David repented. There wasn't a delay. There wasn't a first came judgment and punishment and then came the repentance. No, David immediately turned. He realized his heart had strayed and he went back to God immediately. He was truly a man after God's own heart. We need to be walking with God, friend of God, people after God's own heart. How do we do that? It's a very practical message at this point. So far it's been an informational message, but now we're coming to some practical nuts and bolts. How do you walk? Well, consistently. How do you walk? You walk at a pace that is not only slow, but also purposeful, deliberate. How do you walk with someone? Well, you have them alongside you when you start, and you have them alongside you when you finish, because every step along the way, they were right alongside you. What are the things you accomplish during this walk? Well, you can have a chat. You can come to understand one another better. This gives us the hint. For us as Christians, the opportunity of a walk with God is an opportunity to day by day have fellowship with God in the Word and in prayer. Ladies, thank you for that special this morning. Tied in beautifully. I didn't plan that. That was God who planned that to be today. Prayer and God's Word. Those are the things that we should have. Christian, assess your life. Do you walk with God? Is your life characterized by a deliberate day after day, moment after moment, fellowship with God? Is that how it's characterized? If not, then you're failing. The opportunity for us is we can walk with God. Enoch, Abraham, David, they didn't have something that we've got. We have the Holy Spirit inside of us who can confirm to us what God is saying to us. We have the Holy Spirit in us who can change our hearts so that we're crying out, Abba, Father. We have no excuse. We should each of us be Enochs. I should expect, and don't be surprised if one day you come to church and I've gone, and I'm not here walking with God. That's my hope. And that's my hope for you as well, that you are walking with God so much, so consistently, that after 365 years, if you live that long, you just show up in heaven, not having died, no body to bury, just went home to be with God. That is a wonderful promise, but that is something all of us should be reaching out to. It's not too far. If Enoch could do that without the Holy Spirit indwelling him, without the seal of the Holy Spirit confirming to him that he is the child of God, then what excuse do we have? There is no excuse. We must walk with God as friends of God, getting closer to his heart. We do that through Bible reading and prayer. Reading God's word is key. You need to read consistently. You need to read carefully. Do a bit of study in your reading. You need to read comprehensively. That is, if you don't understand it, read it again or get help. Don't just say, I don't understand, because then you're missing out on the benefit, the blessing. Read devotionally. Read saying, God, what do you have for me today? Read saying, God, I want to know more of you. And then when you pray, cry out to God. Don't just go through a list. We don't want tick box Christians. Tick box Christians, you know, I did my duties, tick, 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 tick. That's worthless. That gets us nowhere. That's not walking. That's sitting on the sidelines. That's the judge's duty, is to tick off the boxes. We're not the judge. We're the one walking the marathon. Let me encourage you, every day, walk with God. And not just once, but throughout the day. Prioritize him. This morning we talked about time, giving our time to God, giving our thoughts to him. These things are walking with God. They're examples of walking with him day by day by day. And if we do that, we will see God do amazing things in our life. Because at the moment, if people see our life, they say Christian. Hopefully they don't say hypocritical Christian, but they say Christian. Okay, you know, they attend Grace Baptist Church. Yep, that's great. But if they could only say something along the lines of a man after God's own heart, a friend to God, someone who walks with God. You know, David sang many times in the Psalms about how close he was to God. The man after God's own heart described over and over again, meditating, that is, reading and thinking about God's word upon his bed in the morning and at night and at noontide, bringing his praise before God. He described a walk with God. Abraham walked with God, and all around the land of Israel, he built altars and dug wells. And in all of that, he was in communication with God every step of every day. You and I both need a better walk with God. We're about to close, and we're going to do something we don't do often. We're going to have an invitation, because I think some things you need to do business with God and make a commitment. Just as Enoch's name is dedicated, so you must make a commitment. God, I know I've failed in the past, but today I dedicate that I will try and walk with you. Help me. God, I want to be more faithful to you. I want to be more of a friend to you. I want to have your heart. God, I promise. And that's a scary thing. God, I promise to walk with you. From now to the day I die. That's my goal. That's my aim. I don't want you to make this promise casually. Maybe as I've been going through this message, some other sin has been brought before your attention. Great, deal with that. But really what I want is for people to come and say, God, I want to make it. From this point till the end of my life, I'm walking with you. And this is not an invitation for you children. Children, you need to talk to your parents. They will counsel you and guide you in this. This is for the adults. Adults, you're old enough to make a decision and stick to it. I'm reluctant to do invitations only because, as a young man, I made some promises to God and then found myself a year later having not fulfilled them, and it broke my heart to realize I failed to keep promises to God. So I don't want you to take this lightly. In other words, I don't want everyone to come up. If no one comes up, not a worry. But if God is working in your heart, make a commitment today to walk with God. Make a commitment to depend on Him every day. Not once a week, not twice a week, not when you feel like it, not in fits and spurts, not for 5 minutes in the morning and forgotten the rest of the day. Walk with God. That's what I want. That's what I want for you.